Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Fred and Ray, and now Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Hey, just to wrap up, we were having a conversation about Brett Baer's interview with former President Trump yesterday. And I don't want to talk about the legal issues because we're not lawyers, and we don't know all the facts, which will be brought out in the court case, right?
Which has now been set for the middle of August.
That's what I wanted to mention. The judge, which isn't a Trump appointee, has set a court date, right?
Yeah.
A trial date.
Not wasting any time whatsoever. A lot of people thought, well, maybe it was going to be several months, maybe well into next year, but they've set a trial date of August, I think, is it 14th?
I think that's smart on the judge's part, and I think it's fairer. Mm-hmm. To Mr. Trump, to have this go ahead and be tried and get it out of the way, one way or another, because if he's going to campaign, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's.
Yeah, I remember when we had Abe in initially when the charges were announced. The prediction was, months of discovery,
right.
Which is one of the preliminary things they do, but boy, they are getting right to it.
Yeah, so the court date's set for August. Will they have to pick a jury? Is that when the jury, that's probably when the jury will be picked, right?
Yes.
Ray, how in the world does does a judge find somebody that doesn't have an opinion one way or another on President Trump? Maybe that can't be the standard. I don't know.
There really can't be. There's not going to be. Would you actually want somebody on the jury who didn't know who Mr. Trump was? Everybody knows who he is. Everybody has an opinion. You hope they can get 12 people, broadly representative of the community, who will at least come in with an open mind.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right. No, and I'm sure Trump's attorneys will screen them well.
Yes.
As will the other side, too. Mm-hmm. Because, now I don't think the standard can be, have you ever heard?
Right.
Have you ever heard of that man over there? That can't be the standard. They're going to have to try to determine, okay, did you give money to Trump's campaign? Have you been openly critical of Mr. Trump on social media? Those kinds of things to sort of screen out the most biased of the people.
I will say this, Tim. I think he's going to get a better trial down there in South Florida.
Yes.
Than he would with a D.C. jury.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. D.C. jury be all Democrats.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now here's the thing. What I think works, there's two things I think that work in Trump's favor here. There are a lot of things that work in his disfavor. True, certainly in this whole thing that we could cite. But he's got a judge that he appointed. I'm not saying that the judge is biased towards him in this case. I think the judge can still be fair and even-handed. But at least it's not a Democrat-appointed hostile judge that would be, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying there aren't Democrat judges that can't be even-handed, too. I'm just saying I think this bodes well for President Trump. The second thing is getting 12 people to agree on anything in the world is almost impossible, Ray.
Right.
So the chances to me of a hung jury are great.
Does it have to be unanimous, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, in some countries that use the jury system, maybe it's Canada. I don't think this is a state-by-state thing. This is a federal indictment. So I think you got to be 12-0. I don't think one person holds out. I think it's called a hung jury. So I'm just saying, if you want to look at this and say, well, what, how do you, quote, handicap it? I would say the fact that he's got a judge he appointed, Mr. Trump, and you got to have 12-0 if you want to convict, those things bode well for him, in my opinion.
Yeah, like you said, we're not lawyers, but I wonder how there are 37 charges in the indictment.
I watched a lot of Matlock. You know what I'm saying?
But 37 charges, some of them deal with charges under the Espionage Act. Now, some of the legal experts I've heard say they don't have a chance on that, of proving that the president was spying or trying to undermine national security. Where the Trump team may have problems with the obstruction of justice end of the charges.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah. All right, Steve.
Hey.
Have you ever covered court cases in your professional life?
I have covered legal issues. I've never covered a court case, although I am so interested in the topic. When I was in college and I went to San Jose State, I would come home. My house where I lived was about 45 minutes away from the school over the hill in San Jose. I came back to Santa Cruz. But I would sometimes, if I had time, stop just by the courthouse just to sit in on a trial, just to see, because it fascinates me. It fascinates me. In another life, I would have been a lawyer if I'd have been smart and rich.
How much would you have charged an hour, Steve?
Well,
for your services,
I could have done they make a good money. I'm saying, and then they got the pro bono stuff. So
yes,
right. The per hour stuff, pastors need to sign up for that one.
Oh, listen, I'm good with that. I think Steve, you should start at maybe $500 an hour,
something like that.
Money. Yeah.
And if you're pro bono, does that mean you have to represent Cher for free?
I've had to use lawyers before and had to pay them per hour, and that's the standard. That's how they charge. But I'm going what about when you go out to get the mail? That's
billable time.
All right, that's 10 minutes of my hour there.
That's billable time right there. You stop at McDonald's, billable time.
Right. You're talking on the cell phone to your mom.
I was just sitting here thinking about your case. Billable time, right?
Oh, me. All right, Steve, go
ahead.
But
we only make money if you do.
Fine.
All right, let's talk if we let's talk.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's talk if we can about the cancel culture and how they're still trying to do this. Now, President Biden has an opponent in the race of the Democrat for the Democrat nomination for president. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the son of the slain Robert F. Kennedy, the attorney general at one point and John Kennedy's brother, is running for president. And
against Biden in the Democrat Party, right?
Yes, against Joe Biden in the Democrat Party. Now, they are separated by a bunch of different issues. They don't line up with almost anything. And I think you would best describe Robert Kennedy Jr. as maybe the old school Democrat, the way they used to be back in the day before, Obama.
Old school liberal.
Yeah.
He sat down with Jordan Peterson, who's the firebrand psychologist who seems to be able to get
in. Firebrand psychologist?
Yes.
That's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Is
a firebrand psychologist?
He's a very controversial figure among some. But a lot of people love him because he's got a great logic to him. But anyway, he was interviewing Robert Kennedy Jr., and they talked about stuff. One of the Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s issues is vaccines. He is stridently anti-vaccine, not just COVID. He's been anti-vaccine for a long time, connecting it with the autism thing. And I don't know the truth of any of that, but that's where he is. Well, YouTube did not like the fact that they talked about vaccines like that, and they determined violated their policy on content, and they took the interview down. They canceled him. YouTube took that interview down. That was still up on Twitter. Elon hasn't taken it down yet. But I want to let you hear some of Robert Kennedy Jr. This is him talking about why he's running against Joe Biden. This isn't the vaccine stuff, but this is why he's running against Joe Biden. Listen to cut three.
What made you decide to throw your hat in the ring on the presidency, for the presidency at this point?
I felt like the Democrats kind of got derailed and became the party suddenly and mysteriously of war, when they were always skeptical of the military-industrial complex They became the party of censorship, which is abhorrent to every definition of liberalism. They became the party of fear, which is against our, you know, traditions. Fear is a weapon of totalitarian elements and totalitarian control.
What's wrong with his voice?
He's got spasmodic dysphonia. It's a neurological condition that makes spasms in the voice.
And he's had it for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know how long, but yes.
Yeah. So what's he talking about right there, Steve?
Well, he's saying that the Democrat Party left him, basically.
He's right. He's right.
That they become the party of war where they were before. They become the party of big business. I don't know if that was in that cut. It was a longer cut that I I cut down.
You know what the tradition of the Democrat Party that stands out to me more than anything else, Ray, and you having grown up in the South, the South used to be called the Solid South for the Democrat Party.
Democrat Party.
But the Democrat Party, your grandfather's Democrat Party, let's just say that, was basically in existence because they were the party of the little man, of the working people.
Right.
So that they weren't, this was the view, that they weren't exploited by the rich and powerful. Is that, wasn't that the basically the
you know, that goes back to FDR.
Okay.
And the whole appeal of the New Deal. We're going to take care of those of you who are suffering because of the Depression. Now, we can argue about FDR's policies, but that certainly was part of the appeal. And the other thing, if you just look at Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s uncle, John, there was a man who was in favor of a strong defense, who was in favor of there was a tax cut under John F. Kennedy. I think John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy wouldn't even recognize today's Democrat Party. It's not just gone left. It's gone left and over the cliff compared to what it was 60 years ago.
Very interesting, some of the things he did have to say there, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He is recognizing what conservatives have accused today's Democratic Party of, and that is censorship. He mentioned the word censorship. He talked about totalitarianism. He talked about basically we have a Democratic Party now that has weaponized the Justice Department to shut down any opposing views to the existing White House. That is the definition of totalitarianism, that you're not allowed to disagree with the government of the day. In fact, the government of the day is going to punish you. Is going to punish you if you disagree. And I mean, the perfect example is YouTube.
His own interview.
has taken down this interview because Robert F. Kennedy dared to say that there are chemicals in vaccinations that may be leading to psychological problems in our young people today. That's his opinion. But YouTube took that down, referring to it as disinformation. And we're seeing a lot of that today. We saw a lot of it during the midst of COVID.
Well, we think that's why they took us down, probably.
Oh, sure.
By us, I mean this show, YouTube took us off, what, 8-10 months ago or so, Brent? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They won't tell you why. What they do is tell you you violated their standards. And you say, well, what standards? And they won't tell you so that you don't know. You're sort of left in the dark. But I think with us, we struck out. We swung and missed, and then third time they said you're out. You're permanently banned, right?
Mm-hmm. So we used words like ivermectin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Ed did that.
That's
thank you, Ed.
His fault.
Thank you, Ed, for getting us banned off YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's interesting. Well, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is polling at about 18.
It's enough to dig into Joe Biden's numbers. If
Biden's not going to debate him, and if I were advising Biden, I would say don't debate anybody. But
this is kind of like the Ross Perot, what he did with the Republicans in George Bush's.
Yeah,
Bush's.
You just wonder
campaign.
If
enough to derail it. I think perhaps. Yeah.
But I've heard a lot of conservatives say, and you know, they like a lot of what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has to say.
Yes.
That, huh?
Yeah, especially on the vaccine issue. He's got a lot of conservatives that agree
with him. And also about the weaponization of the federal government against the political opponents of the Democrats.
That's right.
He's very strong on that.
Yep, he is.
So we'll see. We'll see how his campaign goes. He's the only, is there, let's see, Marianne Williamson?
Yeah.
The author?
Mm-hmm. The little queen that does the
new age
fortune
stuff.
Telling, yeah.
New age fortune
telling queen.
I think she's sort of new age spirituality. Isn't
yeah,
she,
positive thing.
Is she still running?
I think she is, although yes. she's not moving the needle in the least. But
Yeah.
Nominally in the race.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. We got about 10 minutes to go. Steve, what's next?
Well, let's talk about a new Gallup poll that's out that I find fascinating. This is a Gallup poll that found it asked about Americans' views on different moral issues, birth control, divorce, death penalty. But one of the questions it asked is same-sex relations morally acceptable? Now, we're not talking, they didn't say transgender, they didn't say kids, they didn't say drag queens, they just said same-sex relations. So, is it moral to be homosexual? And last year, 71% said yes, it is, and that has dropped to 64%. That's a significant drop. It's still more than half, but 64%, that means, some 36% say are not convinced that being having a gay being gay is moral.
Yeah.
That's to me is stunning, actually.
Why?
Because that's something that I think those of us who have been in this fight for a while, kind of, whether we want to admit it or not, kind of feel like that's a battle we lost. It, you know, we could fight. There's some people that say, yeah, you can still fight for marriage. You should. But telling gay people that outside the church, in just the regular culture wars, saying that you shouldn't be gay at all, is that's something that I don't think anybody would think that you could possibly revisit.
I think something has happened since the transgender side of things has joined the LGBTQ segment. And I think the transgender issues that we have seen out there in the public, the guys who say they're girls going into girls' washrooms, the guys who say they are girls being allowed to play on girls' teams to compete against girls, this has had an overwhelming reaction in the public out there that crosses political lines. It crosses conservative liberal lines, that all of a sudden there's a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, we need to take a look at this issue of people just saying, I feel like I'm a member of the other sex, and therefore you have to respect that. And if you disagree with me, I'm going to go to court against you. There's something has happened in the last couple of years, and I think it's connected to the whole transgender demanding that society accept them.
And it opened up the whole box.
It's called pushing it too far, Ray. I think that's what's going on here.
You know, Americans were quite willing, or at least willing, maybe not quite willing, but they were willing to go along with the idea of gay marriage for consenting adults. That's one thing. But you do anything to touch our children. I mean, our children as our society. You come after our kids. You say it's okay for a 10-year-old boy to have this, this mutilation surgery.
Right.
You say to a 12-year-old girl, you want to be a boy, okay, we're going to give you a double mastectomy.
You lose most Democrats on that.
Yes, you do. Most Americans rise up and say, keep your hands off our kids. So, I think the transgender movement is exactly what Fred is saying. They have gone way too far, and now we're seeing the backlash all the way across the spectrum.
Yep.
Yeah, and also I think a big issue at play here is trying to promote the idea that boys should be able to compete against girls in sports.
Yes.
Just because they say they're a girl. And, again, the vast majority of Americans say, no, that's not fair. We all know that's not right. And you're not going to promote, you know, I don't agree with that. Even liberals.
Yeah. And the other issue is these school systems saying, you know, if little 8-year-old Millie comes to us and says she wants to be a boy, we're not going to tell the parents.
Right.
There was a time you couldn't give a kid an aspirin right. at school without telling the parents.
I still think you can't.
Right.
And
right.
you probably can't.
Probably can't.
You know what, Steve? You brought this up a year or so ago, and I saw a story on this yesterday. You said what could turn this whole thing around, and I'm talking about the medical procedures being right. done on children in some places to change their sexual identity. Which is mutilation and I don't know what other word to use for it, but you said that what's going to happen is somebody's going to have something done to them at age 12. They get to age 20 and they're going to say, I've made a terrible mistake here. And these doctors and hospitals did this to me when I was a child. And now I'm harm for life, and I'm suing them. Mm-hmm.
And that's happening.
Yes.
And a girl's name, her name is Kayla Lovedahl. She's now 18 years old, and her healthy breasts were removed when she was 13. Some ideologues got a hold of her and convinced her that she was a boy, or that by having these mutilation surgery that she'd be better off, and now she regrets it. Like a majority, I believe, of these kids will eventually revert back to their actual gender. But she is suing.
Suing the hospital and the doctors,
that's
right?
Right. She's suing Kaiser Permanente, or the Kaiser Foundation. It's a huge chain of hospitals in California, and the doctor.
Yeah, and so if you win one of those cases, then you're going to then these doctors and hospitals that do these gender changing supposedly gender changing surgeries are going to say, wait a minute, we're not doing that because look, these people are being sued and they're winning.
You can pretend all you want till you run out of cash.
Right. I mean, and the insurance,
right,
to cover that.
You have no place to go.
And you know, any doctor or nurse or hospital that would participate in trying to disfigure and mutilate a child's body in the name of gender dysphoria, that's sick.
Ray, there is a spirit of the age that is opposed to things of God. And the reason that some people, medical establishment, scientists, important, knowledgeable people come out with these ridiculous things, I think they are influenced, Ray, by the spirit of the age, the person who rules the spirit of the age.
You got 1 minute.
The person the Bible calls the God of this age. Not the one true God, but the God of this age. Mm. That's the devil. Mm. That's Satan. He is making a bid for this generation of children, and let's call the transgendered ideology, let's call the ideology what it is. It is demonic. It is a direct attack on the moral, spiritual, and physical health of our children, mm-hmm. and it needs to be opposed legally, morally, spiritually, with every ounce of energy inside us. This movement is an evil, demonic, Satan-inspired mm-hmm. movement, and we need to stand up and fight for the sake of this generation and the rising generation of children.
Yes.
God, help us to stand for our kids.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Fred, thanks.
You bet.
Thanks to Ray. Appreciate it, Ray.
You bet. Thanks, Tim.
Brent Creeley, our producer. Matt Ayers was on with us earlier. Frank Turek. Was that it?
Mm-hmm.
Chris. Did I thank Chris? I don't need to take Chris for granted. Huh? All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday, June 20th, and we'll see you tomorrow.